All right, ladies, welcome to our Mom's Night Out online via phone for the month of June. And as always, I am so excited that you all are here and that we get to have this time together, because this is truly just an opportunity for us all to connect with like-minded moms who have a similar heart and a similar desire before God. And we get to come together and encourage one another, share ideas together, but we didn't have to, like, go through the extra added step of getting dressed and getting in a car and driving somewhere and having to be there on time in spite of traffic and red lights and slow drivers and husband schedules and sick kids and all the other things that we get to juggle if we want to go somewhere away from home. So I love being able to provide this opportunity for connection right where you are. So some of you may be at home, and some of you may actually be on vacation because this is being recorded during summertime, and you might actually be at a family member's house or, oh, I'll just imagine maybe somebody's at a house on the beach or something, and you're just tuning in just to have a sense of connection with some other ladies. But wherever you are at this moment as you're listening to this, know that you're in a safe place. Know that you're with other women who have the same desire as you, that we want to be the best mom that we possibly can. We want to bring all of the gifts and the talents that we have within us. We want to bring those forth to be a blessing to our families. And together, we get to encourage one another to live into that desire more and more. Because I don't know about you ladies, but I know for me, my days can sometimes just become about getting that next thing done. Get the food on the table, get the laundry done, whatever it is. Take this child over here, pick this child up. Go over here and pick this up, run this errand. It just can become about the next thing. But what I love about the community that we're building and the support network that we can be for one another is that our mission together is to be more intentional within those moments. So it's not that we stop running the errands and we stop fixing the meals and we stop caring for the people in our home, but it's that we do this with an added sense of intention and purpose behind it. That it's not just about the next thing, but it's about what can we do to be intentional in that next thing. How can we be on purpose about it versus it just becoming something we check off of our to-do list. So if this is your first time joining us for Mom's Night Out, I'm so glad that you're here. This is something we've been doing for, gracious, almost 2 years now, which is pretty wild to think about. And I love providing this opportunity. If you have not had the moment or had the opportunity to check it out, many of these recordings are on my website. You can go there to the Mom's Night Out online tab, and you can scroll through and see some of the past topics that we've talked about and check them out. I will say that this is a good time to do that because all of those are available to you for free. There are hours and hours of recordings there for you to just sit and have this opportunity to hear more and more conversation about how to be intentional in so many different areas. And I recommend that if you have times where you're just folding laundry or you're sitting quietly, that those are great recordings for you to go back and check out. So those are available to you as a resource. Likewise, I recognize that several other moms would love to be here with us live, but cannot be. So if you want to support those other moms that you're connected with to be a part of this, even if they couldn't be here with us right now, I always love it when we can come together and use social media for a purpose. Like, we can be intentional about our tweets and our Facebook posts and our Instagram posts and have those be a way to put good, positive, purposeful, meaningful posts forward that could just hit someone's news feed at just the moment that they needed to hear that message. And so I invite you that if you hear something on this call that you believe someone else needs to hear that too, that you would grab whatever you hear and share it, that you would post it out there. And if it's something that you'd like to include me in, then definitely hashtag it with mentor, the number four, moms. That's mentor, the number four, moms with an S. And I go out and I search ever so often, and I will tell you right now, it's not daily that I search for that hashtag, but I search ever so often for people who are using that hashtag so that I can join in with you to be a part of supporting and encouraging others. I love to do that. That's the work that I do. And I like to find moms who are just at that moment where they need to hear someone speak truth and encouragement to them because they're getting tired. Their arms are getting weak. The burden feels a little bit too heavy in this moment. And what a gift for us as a community to support one another and support other moms who don't know about these gatherings to be a part of that. And so that's what the work we get to do together. So, welcome. Glad you're here. And tonight, I want us to, first of all, we always start with a reflection time. And even we have the reflection sheet. I hope that you've got your reflection sheet printed out and you have it by you. And we're going to talk about our last month's topic, which was connection. Last month, in the month of May, for our Mom's Night Out, our topic or our theme for the month was connection. And that's what we taught, and we've been living into being more connected and having a sense of purpose with our connections in between last call and tonight. And I know for me, you know, I was inspired, which is going to be where we're headed. I was inspired to have several of these themes over the past few months. And I never know where God's going to lead with that. I really don't. I just trust that he's giving me a word to pass on to you and for us all to just really focus in on that one word. And connection being it, I was really curious. I wonder what's going to happen with this one. And my gracious, when I reflect back over all that's happened just in the past few weeks and the depth of connection, it's been pretty amazing. I'll share a couple of them with you. For those of you who may not have seen a Facebook post that I shared, my husband and I were able to purchase a home for my parents to move into. And in the past few weeks, they have moved into a house that's right across the street from us. So now my kids just get to go out our front door and walk a few steps across the street to the house across the street and see Grandma and Grandpa and hang out with them. And they moved in over a weekend. It was a rainy weekend. And then that Monday, my mom went in for major surgery. And she's been in recovery ever since with physical therapists coming every day and the whole nine. It's been a pretty big ordeal. And I think there's nothing like creating a connection with someone than when they're at their weakest point and you're there to be pretty much their everything. You know, when you look into their eyes and they know and you know that they need you. You know, like so many times we can have relationships where we want you and we enjoy you kind of relationships, but need is a deeper connection, and need and dependency is a deeper connection. And that's truly something that I have experienced with my parents in a way that is a new transition for us in life, where they needed my support and my presence and my help day to day. And it's been an interesting experience
to have that transition. I don't know how many of the rest of you may be in that season of having older parents who depend on you, but it's been very interesting and eye-opening. And with my mom's recovery, my sister and my cousin came down to help. And I haven't gotten to spend time with my sister. Oh, my goodness. I think we were saying that the last time that we actually got to be together was about a little over two years ago. So she and I just got to sit and talk and visit and laugh like we haven't laughed and just have sister time. And that connection was amazing. And even hearing some family stories that I had never heard before, those things that happen when you get family together and it's just unscheduled, unhurried time and stories start to flow, it's pretty amazing. Not to mention, outside of that, just amazing connections with my children. Been very intentional to block off some days and times with them, as well as unplanned and unscheduled conversations like what God initiated between some ladies that I'm connecting with in a group here in Austin and a stranger who joined in our conversation that created an experience that I don't think any of us will forget for the rest of our lives. It was pretty amazing. So on so many levels, I've experienced this sense of connection. And I wanted to share that with you because I know how I think. I won't say this as you ladies. I'll just tell you about Susan. It's very easy for me to hear something like, hey, ladies, here's a theme for the month. And I could go, oh, that's cool, interesting, and I kind of move on. But I really want to encourage you that I share these themes with you to give you just an easy way, a simple step to take to become more intentional and to make that a habit and a practice in your life. Because that's what we're doing is we're building habits and building practices in our lives. And that is what creates this momentum of intentional living in our lives. And by having a theme, it's a simple one word or simple phrase for us to connect to live into, and connection is what we did. So I wanted to share my experience with connection to hopefully encourage you that if you've forgotten about it or you've dropped it or you just never really took it in as something to really commit to ask you to shift that and really not allow yourself to just be carried month to month, call to call, but to really put your feet in, get all in and committed to this in a simple, easy way of just taking on the theme and saying, I'm going to do this theme because I want to build intentional habits and have purpose and meaning to what I'm doing day to day, just simply connecting to the theme that we're doing as a community. And it's not just one more thing to do, but it's something that helps you to go exactly where you sense God is leading you, but you're unsure how to get there. Here's some easy way to do it. Just connect with our theme. So at this moment, I'd love to open up the call. For those of you who were on the call last time or who listened to the recording, and maybe you're with us tonight, I would love to hear from you. What are some ways that connection showed up for you? Maybe connection showed up for you with reconnecting with friendships or family or relationships. Maybe you had a new connection to God's Word. Maybe you had a new connection to a new skill or a new habit or self-honoring habit or self-care habit that you wanted to take on. I just would love to hear from you how connection has shown up in your life. So I'll open up the call now.
Hello?
Hi. Hello?
Okay, I heard two ladies. So I'm not sure who was speaking. If you could identify yourself.
Oh, I just joined the call. I don't think I'm supposed to be speaking right now.
Oh, okay. All right, well, welcome. We're so glad you're here. Was there someone who was going to share about connection?
Yeah, hi, this is Amanda. I have there's so many things I could share this month. It was just, I'm kind of amazed at how much the topic from last month showed up in this month. But I'll share two quick things. One of them was time with my kids. I wanted to find something that I could do with my kids at least two or three times throughout the week to just spend good quality downtime with them. So I broke out the Japanese tea kettle and all the cute little cups that go with it. And I have three boys. And so we have brought in tea time, and they look forward to it a lot. I look forward to it as well. And we heat up water, and we bought a bunch of special teas, and we just take a good 10 minutes and sit down and pour water for each other and talk and snack and just spend some really good quality time listening to each other. So that's been really great. And then the other thing that I've experienced this month is a reconnection in my church life with worship and with the body, people in my church. For years, I've kind of had a little bit of a block with worship for various reasons, but one day I sat and prayed, and I said, Lord, what is it? Why am I having such a block in my worship, in my worship time, you know? And I just felt like the Lord was saying, it's your connection with people. And at that moment, I really didn't even link it or think about what we had talked about last month until tonight. And it was kind of like, oh, wow. It was like an aha moment. And God just spoke to me and said, you know, you've become isolated. And I really have. Like, over the past few years, I've just, my relationships with people, I've just become isolated and separated myself. Not, I don't really know if I did it intentionally or not. It just kind of has happened. And in that moment of prayer, I was like, Lord, please show me, what is it with my worship? Why am I feeling disconnected with you? And he told me I need to reconnect with people within my church. And then after I did that, and I was very intentional with it, I went and did some things that I haven't done in a really long time and met with people that I haven't met with in a really long time. And God just, like, really poured out his blessing on that and has healed some things in me. And that reconnection and worship has really opened up again. And I've just experienced a lot of healing. It's just been really amazing. I could just go on and on. It's just been phenomenal, and really had an aha moment just before we got on tonight as I was reflecting, and I just went, oh my goodness, this month has just been, wow, it's been deep. We'll just put it that way. It's been really deep.
Well, I feel the exact same way, so I know exactly what you're talking about. It's pretty mind-blowing how something so simple can be so profound. Thank you so much for sharing, Amanda. I appreciate that. Anyone else have a share?
Hi, this is Nkechi. So for me, this was a full month of connection. One thing that was very cool idea was doing Skype calls with my sister. So my family, my immediate family, is not in Texas, and so it was nice using Skype calls to see so they can see my little girl and talking and just being intentional with that. And as they can't necessarily see her grow up on those early cute milestones that happen. But another thing that I realized is connection is a lot of work. And I was sort of surprised because I'm naturally an extrovert. So I get energized with people. Sometimes I get too excitable. I just start talking, want to find out everyone's passions and things like that nature. But in the entrance into motherhood, I've been so tired, and there's been quite a bit on my plate. And so I was quite surprised how much energy it took. And I almost liken it to exercise. You know, everyone says you should exercise. You feel so much better afterwards. But in the beginning, waking up on time, putting on the clothes, and actually trying to do the exercise, And then eventually start feeling the rewards, and that's what it felt like. Like, this, if I'm bringing my daughter, I'm not bringing my daughter. If I'm not bringing my daughter, mother-in-law is watching. If I'm bringing my daughter, I got to get her dressed, got to go. And just allowing myself just to connect to people where I am. Like, I didn't have any fresh, new, cool things to talk about necessarily, but just from where I am, what my level was, and just really enjoying it and connecting with old friends again. And so it was definitely worth it, but I also realized I needed to sort of pace myself a little bit. And I realized one weekend, I was like, I just want to connect with myself.
Yes.
And so my way of connection, so I'm African American and I have a fro. My hair takes a long time to tame. So I lock myself in the bathroom, listen to podcasts and music, and connecting with my hair, with myself. So it was just peace. Just no, nothing. My husband was watching my little girl, and so I was like a spa moment. And so just realizing it's great to connect, but also pacing yourself so you can connect with yourself. So you're not always out there externally, but allowing time to reflect and just be alone and be happy being alone, but in a peaceful way, you know. That's it.
Goodness. What you said, so good on so many levels, and I definitely want to highlight when you said connection takes work. I think that was something that really stood out to me from this month as well. Because I was connecting, I was doing some things that I haven't done in years. Like, I opened up my house and had a living room full of women for a really heart-to-heart conversation, and it was amazing. But, you know, that took work of getting everyone organized in here and then going into the move, the whole nine. Then I found that there were some things that were on my calendar, like meetings that come up every month and different organizations I'm involved with, and I love to check in with them and be a part of that. And I got to raise my hand this month and wave the white flag, and I just was like, hey, guys, like, I really need to take this schedule down. Like, these things are on here kind of automatically, but now it's time for me to reevaluate and be very intentional about what's on my calendar this month because I'm feeling stretched too thin. So thank you for actually highlighting that, because it is true that connection is a beautiful thing. It's a gift. It's amazing. And it also takes energy and time and focus and attention, and it can be work. So we want to recognize that and ensure that's why it's so important that what we do is truly intentional about what we're doing versus just doing it just to get it done, because it can absolutely become a hindrance to us versus a help. So thank you for highlighting that. That was wonderful. And we have time for another share or two. Anyone else want to jump in and share? Going once, going twice. All right. Well, tonight what we're going to talk about is our new theme for the month is inspired action. And I love the idea of inspired action. And as always, I want to give us a context for what I'm talking about so that we're all thinking on and having our hearts set in the same direction. So inspired action, I want us to see a divine influence to move. It's a divine influence to move. And in that, I immediately think of all the things that could influence us to move. We could be influenced to move out of fear or hurry or anger or mistrust. There's so many things that could influence us. Greed, our own insecurities can cause us to take action on something. And instead, I'm asking us for this next month, and this is what I believe God has laid on my heart, is for us to get to a place this month where we are being influenced to move by God, that we're looking for divine influence to move, and that our answer to that divine influence, that unction, that sense within us that we need to do something, then our response to that is yes. So it could be as simple as someone's been on your mind and you think, I should call her and see how she's doing. That you take the time to call her and see how she's doing. I'm sure that at some point you've either done that or someone has done that for you, and you've noticed how it was just at the right time. I know recently I have a girlfriend. She and I are very close, but due to our schedules and just different things that God's doing in our life right now, we haven't connected as much as we used to. But very recently, she was on my mind, and it was confirmed that I should do something because one of my children asked about her just about the time I was thinking of her. And I went, okay, that is just a little too wild, but she was on my mind and you just asked about her by name. I'm going to call her. So I called her. I got her voicemail and missed her. And she called me about 5 minutes later and she said, craziest thing. I was just driving by your neighborhood and I put the window down and I said, hey, Susan, I'm thinking about you. And I put the window up and came on home. I just put my phone down on the counter because I was saying hello to the family, and I came back and you had called. And she was like, what is up with that? And we both had this big laugh, but then the sense of, in spite of schedules and whatnot, we're still connected. And it was an inspired move to call her. I felt the sense that I should give her a call. Maybe you'll be inspired to pray for someone and you don't even know what's going on in their lives.
Yeah.
You just feel this burden, this sense that you should pray for them. Maybe it's an act. Maybe you'll be in the grocery store checkout and you'll be inspired to just buy something for the person behind you or pay for the groceries for someone behind you. It could be the smallest of acts to the biggest. It's really not about it being of monetary value. It's not about being noticed or being credited for it in any way. It's simply us putting the intention of staying divinely connected moment to moment so that when God says and he leads us in some way to move, that our response is yes, that we move. And we don't move from fear or worry or doubt or insecurity. We move because we feel the Spirit of God is moving us. And for those of you who may not have had that or don't, or they're not sure, what does that even look like or feel like? It's simply a thought. But it's a thought that's supported by the scripture that says, whatever things are good and worthy and honest and of good report, think on those things. It's when you have a divine thought. I call those divine thoughts because our minds are not naturally wired towards good thoughts. So when we have those, I attribute those to God the Father as influencing our minds. So when our minds are influenced towards good, towards another person or towards ourselves, that God is influencing us. He's leading us to do and take action in that direction. So it's no accident nor coincidence that you want to write someone a letter or send them a card or give them a call or pray for them or help them across the street or sit with them at dinner or invite them over to your house for dinner. To give someone a gift that you think of someone in that moment, I, in my life, sense those as what God is leading me to. So it's not a voice outside of you that I'm asking you to listen for. And it's not a message in a bush or anything like that. But it's more of being in tune with those thoughts and ideas that you can sense are totally in line with what God is calling us to do and live out as his people. So over this next month, I want us to look for opportunities to be inspired. And what does inspired look like? I think of, there are just so many different people that inspire me, but we're getting ready to go into the Olympics, and Olympians inspire me. I love it when they start sharing the Olympian stories, the stories of their training and their schedules and their eating habits and what their family had to overcome for them to get here and all the challenges that they faced and injuries they've had to overcome and rehab from to be able to compete and be a part of the Olympics inspires me. It's the absolute like hero story of here's all the challenges and the junk, but look at them now. And sometimes I have to look up where these countries are. I'm like, where is that country? I don't even know where that is. But I'm so inspired by this person in this moment. Like their life causes me to rise up in a new way. Causes me to be encouraged and built up in a new way. And I appreciate that kind of inspiration in my life. And now I get to seek God to say, now what is it that you want me to rise up and do? Because I'm clear it ain't gymnastics, right? I'm clear it ain't swimming. Like, you're not asking me, God, to go out there and be the next Olympic champion in one of these sports. But there's something about hearing that another person could overcome challenges and yet still rise that gets me every single time, that gets me really fired up. All too often, as women and as mothers, we can look at the lives of one another, and instead of being inspired, we begin to compare ourselves to one another, and we end up feeling defeated. Somehow, the enemy is able to trick us into thinking every other mother has this thing figured out, and they're doing really well, except us. Hmm. Every other mother may have a challenge here or there, but my life is a hot mess, and I'm struggling. With no G on it, just struggling. Mm-hmm. And that is, and it seems so real. It seems so true. Like, I'm the only one with these issues. Everyone else has a challenge here or there, but they're not struggling like I am. And this month, I want us to, instead of being in a place of looking side to side at one another and comparing ourselves, I want us to look for what is it about that mom, and everybody knows who that mom is, whoever that mom is in your life who seems to have it together and you really admire her, that mom, what is it about her that you can, instead of comparing yourself to and feeling less than, what is it about her that inspires you? What is it about her that stirs you up? Because I'm sure it's connected to something within you that God already has in motion. And instead of missing it by comparing ourselves and beating ourselves up and then feeling less than and getting into a whole negative thought spiral, instead, let's give ourselves the opportunity to say, listen, if God could do that in her life, he could do it for me too. If God can allow her to be so strong and so joyful, and ladies, I hear someone has like a conversation going on. If that's you, if you would be able to mute your phone, that would be amazing. Thank you. I'm not sure if it's someone who maybe laid the phone down. But if we could allow ourselves, I'm just going to keep talking, to be in a place of being inspired by her and looking at what God allows her to be, maybe joyful in the midst of challenges, instead of us saying, man, she's so patient, or she's always joyful and I'm not. Man, I'm angry and frustrated a lot, and I have a lot of anger issues and whatnot. Instead, you could say, huh, I could be really inspired by what she's doing, by her life, and I can be more joyful in mine. She inspires me to be joyful. She inspires me to be patient, to be organized, to have a meal plan, to get plenty of sleep, to exercise, to eat healthier, to love my husband more. Whatever that is that that woman, that mother that you have in mind is doing, allow it.
Hello?
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 Okay.
I think it may have dropped on her end.
Really?
Shame.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. This has been catchy.
Yes, I can hear you.
Susan?
I think she dropped from us.
Oh, she's gone.
Okay, well, are you there?
She'll probably call back in. This has happened before.
Okay.
Yeah, technology can be so finicky sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, ladies, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. What just happened? I don't know. I'm just talking. Okay. Well, tell me, where did I disappear? What was I saying?
I heard inspired to eat healthy.
Okay.
I think you left off on that.
Okay. So being inspired is just simply... Okay, it's essentially something that we want to look for those opportunities where we can look for the good in someone else and then believe that good for ourselves, believe that that can happen for us. And I think on some level, when we see that, when we see good in someone else, when we see a strength in them and we compare ourselves, on some level, we're doubting that it can happen for us. And I'm asking us to walk in a place of expectancy that, in spite of the circumstances that scream otherwise as possible for us right now, that we, somewhere deep down, we believe that it is. So if you know of a family that maybe is debt-free right now and your family is not, and that's something you want, instead of comparing yourself and going, man, they're debt-free and we are up to our eyeballs in debt right now, that instead we go, man, I'm inspired by them that we can be debt-free too. I'm inspired to pray for us in our finances. I'm inspired to take an action like create a budget or have a conversation about our money, to reevaluate the connection I have to money and stewardship and the money, the resources that I'm managing in our family, and look at them with fresh eyes. I'm inspired to reach out to them and have a conversation and ask for them to share their Olympic story, right? Like, how did you overcome the challenges that you had to face and become debt-free? Like, whatever it is that someone else around you is doing that catches your attention, look at that as like God just waving a flag or ringing a bell or sending up a balloon or whatever it is that looks like in your mind, just to wait, to get your attention to say, hey, this is possible for you too. I don't set this here before your eyes for you to feel defeated or broken down or overwhelmed by it. I want it to inspire you. I want it to kindle a fire in your belly. I want it to cause you to stand up straighter. I want it to quicken your steps some for you to go, hey, look at that. I had an idea in my mind. I had a dream in my heart, and I hadn't shared it with anybody, but I see it when I see you. I see a possibility when I see these people's lives that God has allowed to cross my path. And I'm inspired in this moment. And when you think of inspired people, I know when I think of them, I think they're energized and excited and looking for opportunities everywhere and taking action on them. I don't think, when I think of uninspired, I think of, you know, like, I just immediately picture somebody sitting on a couch with, like, a big bowl of popcorn, and they're just, you know, got their feet up, and they're kind of just in a own zone. That's, like, the ultimate picture of uninspired to me. But inspired, I think of someone whose eyes have a sparkle to them, and they light up a room, and they're moving in a way that, though it may be challenging, feels effortless to watch them, right? It's like watching a beautiful dancer where you know the moves she's executing are challenging, but she has a way of doing them that just looks amazing, and it's captivating. You can't help but watch. So with that, I want us to have inspired action as our theme for this next month, that we're going to be looking for opportunities to be inspired by people around us, to be inspired by what we read, to be inspired by what we hear. And I want to ask you some questions to help you to really step into this. I want you to be asking yourself, we're basically going to do the 5 W's, right? We're going to do, what inspires you? Think about that. Like, one of the things I shared about what inspires me are, like, hero stories, the ultimate overcoming stories. Like, here was the challenge, yet look at me now. Those kind of stories inspire me. Beautiful music inspires me. I can just be, here's a true page from my life. When God called me to start speaking and sharing with moms, I had a wall of self-doubt hit me like nobody's business, which few of my friends believed me because they said, oh, no, we look at you and we see you as confident and we see you as really putting yourself out there. And I said, yeah, because maybe under the table or underneath my skirt, you can't see my knees knocking. Maybe that's the reason why you think that. Because honestly, I'm taking these steps by faith, and I'm really begging God to show up everywhere I go. And in the midst of my taking steps is when I felt God say, I want you to write a book. And I thought I was going to toss my lunch. Like, I really thought I was going to be sick to my stomach. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, for how many years? Well, still to this day, are you kidding? To this day, I still say, I am a speaker, not a writer. I don't write. I speak. So writing a book was the last thing I wanted to do. And yes, I believe that's why God called me to do it. He wanted me to be in my weakest place so he could be my strength. So I would rely totally upon him. And the way that I got so many projects and writing was part of the projects that he put before me done was through music. And I can tell you exactly what music, because maybe one of you would also enjoy this, and maybe you're in a season where you could use some music to inspire you. It was Kirk Franklin's album, Hello Fear. Almost every song on that entire CD spoke to me just when I needed it. And I listened to that every morning. And it truly was like the story of David with the king, where he would play the instrument and the king would be at ease. When he would stop the music, it was like the king would change. That was me. As long as that album played, it was like the ideas came and the projects came and they flowed out of me. But if I got distracted, maybe the music stopped playing and I didn't hit, you know, shuffle on it, or I didn't hit replay or restart, suddenly I just couldn't think straight, and it just wasn't coming to me, and I would feel irritated and frustrated, and I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to shut the computer. I'm done for today. But then I would look down and go, oh, gosh, I forgot the music stopped, and I'd hear it play, and I'd be right back in it. So be willing to ask yourself, what inspires you? The second one we kind of discussed already is, who inspires you? Is it other moms? Is it people with different challenges or different languages or people in different countries, people from different cultures? Who inspires you? Start to become aware of that. The next one is, where are you inspired? What places, what spaces inspire you? I know for me, I love to have a place where I feel like my eyes can rest. So in every room in my house, there's at least one space that I can know that if the rest of the room is a complete mess, that I can just focus my eyes on that space and then kind of ease my way backwards out of the room before my eyes land on the laundry and the toys and the shoes and the cup and the paper and the mail and the junk mail, that's, you know, all the other stuff that makes me go, ah, and start to feel like a failure as a housekeeper. Instead, I just let my eyes land on that one space, and then I fix my gaze on that, and I move on. But beautiful sunsets, I wouldn't say sunrises because, no, that wouldn't inspire me. That would mean I have to get up early. But a beautiful sunset is inspiring to me. Beaches, nature spaces are inspiring to me. And I want you to think about where in your home, where do you like to go to feel inspired? What spaces and places inspire you? Next is, when are you inspired? When do you feel the most inspired? What time, what seasons inspire you? You know, we are definitely, our bodies react to the time of day and the seasons of year. It's not just dates on the calendar, but it truly does affect our bodies and our minds. So think about when you typically are inspired. Are you a morning? Are you inspired in the morning? Are you inspired at night? Are you inspired in the middle of the day? Because you, when you become aware of that, you can really be intentional about setting your schedule to best optimize those moments of inspiration. So if you're inspired in the morning, recognize that you want to give your time, yourself the space and the time to be inspired in the morning. Maybe that's the time for you and God to connect. But I am not one who says you need to have your quiet time with God every day. One, because it is a challenge for a mom to have a quiet time. Two, not every mom connects best with God in the morning. So I don't want us to have this religious stance in our lives that this is what being a Christian woman looks like. This is what it means to be a good mom. I must have these daily quiet times with God. And God is saying, I want a relationship with you. I want to do life with you. I don't want to just do 15 minutes in the morning with a devotional. I want more than that. So I'm saying, look for those times that you are inspired, because those are the moments when God's connecting with you. And look for that pattern just so you can live more into it. If it's in the morning, go for that. If it's at night, go for that with no guilt and no shame. Likewise, do you find that you usually take on projects in the wintertime? Then I would say you're inspired in the wintertime. Isn't that a gift to know that? So then you'll know that if you want to take on something new, the best time for you to put that on your schedule and start to make time and clear your calendar, it's like, hey, I need to clear the winter because that's the time when I typically create something amazing. That's when I start taking on new skills or leaning into my gifts and talents more, and I want to make space for that. Maybe it's in the spring. Maybe it's in the summertime. Maybe now is your season, and you got all kinds of ideas flowing out of you, and you're like, man, I just love this. I feel so alive. There's a hint. You're inspired if you're feeling alive and energized. Likewise, if you're not feeling that way, maybe there's something that's got you distracted and that's killing your inspiration. And lastly, asking yourself that fifth W of why. Why do those things inspire you? what is it, what's the lesson in it, or what's the idea, or what's God saying to you in the midst of that? What is it that God is saying to you when you are up in the morning and you're thinking about your best friend and how she's overcoming some really hard things in her marriage, yet she still has a smile and the word of God on her lips? Why does that inspire you? What does God want you to hear and see in that? And you'll know if you're hearing what God is saying, because if you start to sense a feeling of overwhelm or guilt, and you're saying things like, well, I should, well, I have to do this more, then that's a clue that that's not what God's message is for you. But if you suddenly desire to memorize scripture or to pray for your friend or to really show more love and affection in your marriage, then that's the kind of inspired divine influence to take action that we're looking for. So that is what I wanted to share with you all. I wanted to put that out there for us as a group, as connected, like-minded moms, to really live into this, that we're going to be more intentional over the next 30 days to be inspired and influenced by God to take action. Not by our fears and our doubts and our worries, those won't move us, but we're divinely inspired to act. And I would love to hear from you ladies who are with me, what did you hear in this call, or what is it that you sense is going to be something that you're already inspired to do? And I open the call now.
Well, This is Robin. Can you hear me?
I can. Hi, Robin.
I finally made it back.
Yes.
Well, it was just a coincidence that this is going to be the theme for the month, because my daughter has just, she actually made up a whole exercise routine for herself. She's 12. And it is really intensive, and it inspires me because of my health conditions. I know I need to exercise more. And so I told myself, if this 12-year-old can come up with her own exercise plan, then surely I can either work out with her or get myself moving to get myself motivated to move. And so we have, we've been exercising more. Today we went swimming.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow we'll probably go out walking. And so she just, it was, I was just very proud of her, and it just motivated me to want to get more active.
Very nice. I love it. I love it. Because what you said, the thought that comes to mind for me is you said that you were inspired to get up and at least move, even if it's not keep up with her intensive workout. I mean, one way that we would know if we're being moved divinely by God is that we either have that response that you just shared, or we would have a reaction like, oh, well, you know, they're competitive. Like, oh, she's 12, and if she can do that, then I should be able to do. And then we go out and we injure ourselves and hurt ourselves and do things we shouldn't do. And so I love that instead you said I could join her in some way and do what I can do, but she's inspiring me to at least move. I think that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else have a share?
Hey, Susan, it's Brandy.
Hey, Brandy, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. I just wanted to share that this is exactly what I needed to hear. I was just telling my husband the other night, like, you know, sometimes the comparison monster can just really be overwhelming to me sometimes, and I'm aware of it, so I don't like let it get to me, but it's still there, you know, or it can get to me. So anyway, so it's very, I like the switch of, what is it, you know, that that inspires me about them. It's such a great way, put the situation in perspective, and that we're all in it together. Where I am doing well, maybe there's someone struggling in that area, you know, and they're comparing to me. And so it's not, you know, and just asking those simple questions, like you said, hey, okay, you've got it together there. Like, how do you do that? And just kind of be vulnerable. And it's not bad that I don't have it together in that area, but it's an area of growth, or that someone can help me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, this has been on my heart and my mind for weeks now. So this is great.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Because the truth is, especially knowing you and seeing you in action, you have some natural strengths that God has given you that other women marvel at and look at and go, I don't even understand how she does that, but she does it so well. So they can look at you and still and be in the same comparison mode. And wouldn't you just open up like a faucet if a woman came to you and said, hey, Brandy, how can I start a group to support other moms? Or, hey, Brandy, how do you do this? And you could just share what God has so freely given to you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a beautiful gift. And likewise, there are other people who want to share gifts with you.
Yeah.
And I love that you use the word vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
because it truly is a vulnerable place for us to be willing to open up with one another. It's a very self-protective place when we get into comparison and allow it to shut us down.
Mm-hmm.
And then we won't ask for help. And we won't admit to what's true for us. I'm overwhelmed right now, or I feel totally inadequate right now, or whatever. We won't be honest about what that is. We'll just shut down, withdraw, isolate, get away, and we lose out on the gift that other people could give us.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. What you said was just perfect. Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? How are you going to be inspired? What have you already been inspired to act or take action on? What do you sense that God would be leading you to do over the next 30 days? I would love to hear you share, not just with us, but for those who will hear the recording and maybe be inspired by your share on how God could lead them. That's the beauty of your shares. Anyone else? All right. Well, I have one other, since we have a little bit of time, I have one other thing here in my notes that I wanted to share. And so I'm going to take a moment to just share that with you all. It is a little system, a system of thinking that I want to share with you that really breaks it down. It's something that I typically share with some of my one-on-one mom mentor clients when we have one-on-one sessions, or when I'm working with moms in classes and workshops, which I think some of the ladies from my most recent class might actually be on this call, which is exciting. I had a great opportunity to teach an intentional mom's four-week course. I think the roster ended up with like over 50 moms on that roster over the 4 weeks, which was fantastic. But it is a system of thinking, a way for us to be very aware of our thoughts as we're being inspired, because I want us to be clear on what God inspires us to versus what the enemy would deceive us into thinking
is right, right? Like the Word of God tells us there is a way that seems right unto man, but in the end it leads to destruction. Like, I don't want us to be on a path to destruction. I want us to be clear that we're on the path that truly God has laid before us. So it starts with this. It starts with our attention. We want to be very aware of what has our attention. And if you know me, I will tell you, you will know that what I'm saying is, above all else, we want to be very aware of what and who and how we're allowing our attention to be influenced at any time. If we can get better and better at being very aware of what has our attention, we can transform our lives. There's so many times we allow things to grab our attention that are, and we kind of go unconscious to it. We kind of just start looking at stuff, but we're not really there. We're not really here either. We're kind of in this mushy middle place. And I want us to be very intentional with our attention, because our attention creates within us an awareness. It connects us to thinking about your feelings, right? Like, it's because of what has our attention, it creates an awareness or a sense of feeling within us. We cannot feel without something having our attention. The two are absolutely connected. You cannot have one without the other. And what I'm sharing is a challenging thought, so please don't think you have to get all of this at once. But if you can grasp this, and feel free to go back and listen to the recording of this section over and over until it like goes off like a light bulb. Because when I got it, it's been something that I think on almost every single day. I use this even multiple times a day. So what has our attention creates in us an awareness, a feeling, a reaction to that. And based upon that feeling, we take action. Every action that we have, every action that we take is based upon a feeling or a feeling we want to achieve, right? Like, it's the reason why you have a hard day and then suddenly you want to go eat a bowl of ice cream because somehow you believe the ice cream will comfort you and cause you to get back to a feeling that you really want. You don't want this stressed out, anxious feeling, so ice cream or whatever your issue, your vice is, right? Chocolate cake, whatever your promise is, you're believing that will help you to get back to a feeling. So you can work this forwards or backwards. So our attention creates an awareness or a feeling that leads to our actions, and our actions all lead to eventual outcomes. So you show me an eventual outcome in your life, and I could trace it back and break down for you, actions, feelings, attention, all the way. They're all interconnected, every single one. So imagine as we go through this month that we're looking to be divinely influenced, inspired. We're looking for God. Then that means our attention is on seeking out the voice of God and looking for how he wants to inspire us. Immediately, we're setting ourselves up to have a feeling and a sense of connection to him, perhaps connection to others, feeling like we're on purpose, that we're doing the right thing for the right reason. All of these positive feelings that are connected to that divine inspiration from him, which if you're feeling like you're doing the right thing, then more than likely you're going to take actions of doing the right thing. Are you beginning to, I'm picturing your heads are nodding like you're getting this. So, like, our attention is set to hearing the voice of God. That's what we're tuning our attention to. Then that creates a feeling of, I'm in this for the right reason. I'm doing the right thing, which means you'll take actions to stay in line with that feeling of doing the right thing, which is going to create some eventual outcomes for you that you'll be proud of. That you'll say, I know this was the hand of God. I believe this is what God wanted. This is what he has for me. And imagine being able to say that even about circumstances that other people might term as negative. Boom. I feel like that's a mic drop moment. Like imagine that. Because notice I didn't promise you that because your thoughts were for good to hear from God and you had feelings of being connected to Him that you'll take actions and all the things that you do work out in the way you expected. They work out in a good way and everything is peachy keen and happy, and don't you just hear the happy like ice cream truck music playing? Like, no. I am not promising you that it all works out exactly as you expected. But what I am saying is imagine if that eventual outcome doesn't have the added weight of regret and shame and guilt and any of the other harm that we can do to ourselves in our minds. But that instead, no matter what the result, you say, I sense that I did exactly what I knew to do in that moment. I did exactly what I sensed God had for me. I may think this result stinks. It might be a job loss. It might be financial crisis. It might be a health scare. But yet I feel connected to God, and I sense that He is with me. That could change everything about our circumstances and our situation. That can change everything about our attitudes, about the way we speak to ourselves, which is huge, and how we speak to those we love and care for. That could change everything about how we're viewing maybe our current circumstances. If we could simply sense that we're in the right place at the right time doing the right thing, versus feeling like we're being pulled and pushed by our circumstances and we feel totally out of control, totally overwhelmed, and totally out of sorts. I'm saying, let's get back, ladies, and let's be really clear about what has our attention. Because what has our attention is going to create an awareness and a sense of feeling within us that's going to cause us to take actions based upon it. And it's going to create outcomes. Eventual outcomes. Let's make sure that those outcomes are ones we can stand in. You guys give me feedback on that and let me know if that was clear or if you have a question on that, because I'm happy to break that down because we have some moments to do so.
This has been catchy. I think it was really good for me to hear about the outcomes. Like, no, it's not the result that we're seeking, but the fact that we're with God, that we're at peace with Him. I think too often as Christians, it's good that we believe in faith, but sometimes believing in faith can be, okay, I'm believing for this specific thing to happen, whereas opposed to our faith is supposed to draw us closer to God in relationships. It's the journey walking with Him and being with Him. That's where the true treasure is, as opposed to the circumstances that change. And I wonder, how often have we gotten discouraged, or we've seen people discouraged because they prayed and believed so much in faith for something and it didn't happen, therefore they lost their faith in God, as opposed to they didn't get the outcome they wanted, but how much closer do they draw to God in the process and how grateful they are. And I'm hoping and believing that I would grow in the latter as opposed to the former, because this life is not an easy life. And not everything ends with a happy ending with regards to living in a fallen world. And just knowing that God's love and His presence in our lives and who He is greater than that. Like, He loves us so much that He doesn't want just to answer what we've believed what we want. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to have something greater than something that's perishable. And just realizing that that's the true treasure. And I could see this process of just even practicing being inspired. I inspire in detail. So I'm very specific in where I want things to end up happening. And I realize that that just dilutes the power of inspiration that God really wants to give us. And so this will be an interesting challenge to have a perspective change about what outcome am I really looking for. Am I seeking to find more of God at the end of this, or am I seeking to find this specific thing to happen? So that was a very good challenge for me.
That's powerful. What you said is just so powerful and so true. And he does want that for each, and he wants that for you, and he wants that for each and every one of us. And he wants us to fully live out this journey with him, not a check-in and check-out experience. Hey, God, you know, I'm checking in with you, but then I go off and I live right life, and I come back and I check in with you. But he wants to be with us moment to moment. He's constantly talking with us and guiding us and leading us if we will allow him to. And on a practical note of, like, what I just shared, like, if you've ever heard someone talk about having a gratitude journal or taking the time at the end of the day to write down things that you're grateful for, that is just a perfect example of what has your attention. That is a practical way of really telling your mind, these are the things we're going to think on. And it goes right back to that scripture of, we're going to think on the things that are good and worthy of thought right now. And we're going to think on what's good. And what happens when we think on good things? We feel good. We have an awareness of good feeling within us. And it causes us to want to take actions to keep that momentum going, versus having a rough day and we never stop to acknowledge the things that went well. When we keep our minds, like, what we put our attention on has the effect of growing and magnifying in our lives. So we want to be intentional about putting our attention on those things that are good, on those things that are true and honest and of a good report, because we want those to be bigger and greater and stronger and more deeply rooted within us than all the deficits, the challenges, the issues that abound around us. I don't know if you've ever seen that picture, that quote that people circulate ever so often, where it says, don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell your storm how big your God is. It's saying, put your attention on God, on truth, on what's good. That's what I want for us, because that's where we'll be inspired. That's where God is speaking to us. That is what we can lean on and trust on, because everything else will fail us every single time. It will weaken us when we should be bold. It will discourage us when we should be encouraged. It will cause us to stop moving or even pull back when we should be advancing and moving forward. So we have time for another share. If anyone else would love to share before we close out the call. Okay, well, with that, ladies, I look forward to hearing how you have been inspired to act over this next month. I hope that you've already taken the time to print off your reflection sheet and you used it during the call. But if not, do go to the website. Go on there, or to the latest email. Either one of them has it in there, has that reflection sheet. Print a copy and take notes. Because I'm really looking forward to, at the end of this year, when we can go back and look over these notes from month to month, and we can just see how we've been just little by little, step by step, infusing our lives with intentional steps that are leading us to be more and more intentional as a lifestyle. It's just a natural part of who we are. So until next time, ladies, I look forward to our next call, and if there's anything that I can do to support you, please reach out to me by email. I would love that. You ladies have a great night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.